About a month ago, up-and-coming artist Cody Fry thought he was on the brink of something amazing. His song, Things You Said, was going viral on Douyin, the Chinese version of TikTok.
I was walking in the woods one day, trying to keep the ghosts at bay.
Over 750,000 videos had been created with his song in just one day, and Cody thought it could be a turning point in his music career.
So I'm feeling incredible. This is like everything you hope for as an artist. And the trend is apparently people just like playing the song and being like, look how beautiful this song is. That's amazing.
Then all those videos went silent.
He gets home, checks his phone, and sees a letter from UMG saying we're going to pull this music.
That's Ethan Millman, who covers the music industry at Rolling Stone.
And the next day, the music was gone and this viral moment was just kind of taken away.
It's just hard as a hardworking artist to see a budding viral trend with one of your songs that's really awesome in its infancy just like get crushed.
Cody's music disappeared because of a contract fight between TikTok and Universal Music Group, or UMG, the company that operates Cody's record label and the largest player in the music industry. UMG wants TikTok to pay more for the rights to their huge collection of music. But TikTok was unwilling to budge, so last month, UMG pulled all their music off the platform without even asking the artists. Cody is one of thousands represented by Universal Music Group. Big names like Taylor Swift, Billie Eilish, Drake, Olivia Rodrigo. Their music just vanished from the app. That meant creators couldn't make new videos with their songs, and existing videos just lost their sound.
I talked to Cody at length about it. I know that he definitely believes that it's a righteous cause for artists to get paid more, and I don't think he would say it's wrong of UMG to be trying to get more money for artists and value the music, but what artist is going to feel good about not being told that this incredibly important viral marketing tool that has given him his career is now gone and there's nothing you can do about it?
Last week, Universal pulled even more music, taking down not just artists signed to their record labels, but also any songs written by UMG's songwriters. Tracks that had been blowing up on the app, like Beyoncé's Texas Hold'em, disappeared.
It means that anytime a person so much as wrote a song or was one of five writers on a song, regardless of the label, it's coming down. And so I think we're really seeing, you know, the full impact in a way that, you know, a month ago people were wondering if it happened. And now that it's here, everyone's been calling it the so-called nuclear option.
So today on the show, TikTok and the music industry are in a standoff. What will that mean for all the artists caught in the middle? I'm Emily Peck, filling in for Lizzie O'Leary, and you're listening to What Next TBD, a show about tech, power, and how the future will be determined. Stick around.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank, USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
This all started with Old Town Road, the Lil Nas X song that blew up in 2018. It made the jump from going viral on TikTok to the Billboard charts. Massive hit. Ethan says, after that, TikTok became the spot for marketing music.
I would say Old Town Road was the case study that you can look at to show the full extent of what TikTok can do. You know, it was a popular song, and it was in tons and tons of videos. If you were on the app, you couldn't escape it. And the song kept on climbing the charts, and it ended up being one of the biggest singles of, you know, of a generation. And I think a lot of people after that really looked and thought, let's try, like, we want to replicate something like that. That only further materialized during the pandemic, you know, when everyone's stuck at home and there's nothing except online, and TikTok was where a lot of the younger kids were. So it became really huge for discovery. Stuff could blow up overnight, especially because it's so good. At the time, it was so good at making a sound and a trend inescapable. It would just hit you over the head with something over and over and over again. It was really good for that earworm effect. And artists were getting signed left and right off of a viral TikTok moment. Like, I'd say Megan Thee Stallion was already blowing up, but Savage was a huge moment for her on TikTok. I'm a savage, yeah. Classy, bougie, ratchet, yeah. And that really helped. Doja Cat had a lot of songs that blew up on TikTok. Yeah, bitch, I said what I said. I'd rather be famous instead. Ice Spice, she had a huge, her career is blowing up, and it started with that song Munch blowing up in 2022 on TikTok. Like, at minimum, a lot of the artists that we can name have a moment on TikTok that helped, or multiple moments. At maximum, it really was the thing that completely turned them into what they are.
Okay, so we know TikTok is really important for the industry in terms of finding artists, in terms of artists finding audience and, you know, gaining success. On the flip side, I mean, how important has music been for TikTok as an app?
Overall, I would say it's been a huge part of TikTok's success. It's a really good offering for a creator that they can use really good, high quality, popular songs as the background to the stuff that they're making. I think that's very appealing. And that was how it got its start. I mean, you know, like, I think UMG they haven't been shy to note that the symbol is a musical notation on TikTok. Like, it is a very big part of it. And I think TikTok would still say it's an important part of its platform. You know, they've got a lot of people who their whole job is to work directly with artists, whether they're independent or work with labels or whatever. It is an important part of the app because it's one of the most popular things that's going to go viral on the platform. So I would say that it's still a very crucial part of what makes TikTok TikTok.
TikTok and UMG had been negotiating their contract for months when things seemed to go south at the beginning of the year. In January, UMG published an open letter bringing up user safety and concerns about AI. But it mostly focused on money. UMG says TikTok does not pay its fair share to access the company's massive catalog of music.
They've alleged that what TikTok is paying is low even compared to other social media platforms, like from Meta. TikTok had pretty swiftly responded after that letter had come out, saying that UMG was essentially being greedy. And so days after that letter happens, the music actually does come down. It started with just the recorded side, with the master recordings for the likes of Billie Eilish, Olivia Rodrigo, all those other artists we had just rattled. And then it escalates about a month later with all the publishing copyrights for all the songwriters who had written or co-written any of those songs that would be removed.
Do we know how much TikTok pays now for music?
At least in UMG's case, they said about 1% of the company's revenue, something like $100 million that TikTok pays. And even if it's not nothing, that is a minuscule 1% of UMG's revenue. UMG would say, given how much TikTok and ByteDance are pulling in, this cannot stand. You know, we're a very crucial part of what makes your app work, and we're getting paid practically nothing for it.
Yeah, it seems like about 100 million when you consider the artists we're talking about here. I mean, just Taylor Swift alone, she's one of thousands of artists, you know, available on TikTok. That would mean far less than $1 million just for Taylor Swift use, which seems like very little money. Do you know how that compares to the money Universal gets from streaming platforms like Spotify or even YouTube?
Yeah, well, YouTube hasn't revealed this year how much it paid to the music industry, but it's been billions.
Billions.
Yeah, Spotify paid out something like $9 billion last year. So very different scale here.
I guess you could argue too, TikTok could argue, it's not just the 100 million that Universal gets. It's like all the streams that then accrue onto Spotify and, you know, sales and fame. Like there's value, obviously, to going viral on TikTok, right? I mean, people can't listen. You can't listen to a whole song there. You have to go to Spotify or YouTube or somewhere else.
That's the core of the argument, you know? If TikTok wasn't such a big player in making something a hit off platform, they wouldn't have any ground to stand on. But they have been integral in, you know, making hits. Like there are so many songs that have turned into a streaming hit. So they would say right now their value is way more outsized than just whatever they pay for their licensing agreement.
So, and I mean, Universal is saying this is for the artists. We're doing this for you. We want you, you know, we want artists to get paid more. But in the meantime, this is hurting artists, you know, people like Cody Fry, whose, you know, song isn't going to go viral anymore. Do you have a sense yet for what the impact has been for Universal artists?
It's early to say immediately, you know, how much it hurts their streams or something like that. But for any artist, especially these younger ones who were grown and born on TikTok, if their whole being was to be uploading stuff to TikTok and finding their fans there, and there have been many artists who have told me that they've been told for the marketing campaign in the past, essentially, is just go on TikTok. I mean, it hurts a lot if they are at this point where they just can't use this platform. So, I think that is a very clear right away damage to an artist. I would hope that, you know, an optimist or an artist manager who wants to look at it as an opportunity would probably say something like, this is a chance for us to find other ways to not rely on any one platform. You know, there are people I've talked to who think that this is a chance to do something, to have a more sustainable path for yourself that doesn't rely on one thing. But, you know, as much as there's lemonade to be made, it's also very clearly, I guess I'll call it at minimum, a significant inconvenience for any artist who has had a significant presence on TikTok in the past.
Are they angry at Universal?
Yeah. I've seen plenty of artists talk about being angry at Universal. Someone like Cody Fry or other artists I'd spoken with, their view, at least some I've talked to, have been very nuanced. It wasn't just only we are mad at Universal. Sure, some have felt, I never looked at TikTok as a money-making thing for me. It was always just to push music, and I don't get why we're saying that now. But I think the view that Cody, for example, had that I think speaks for what other artists may think too is it's that UMG is a multi-billion-dollar corporation. TikTok is a multi-billion-dollar corporation. We're in the middle between these two giants here, and that both of them are saying that they're artists first on this, and yet neither of them are talking to us directly about this necessarily. And so that is the thinking that I've heard from certain artists.
When we come back, could Taylor Swift end this whole fight?
What is the one most important thing our society needs?
That would be harsher punishment for parole violators, Stan. And world peace.
Okay, we get it. World peace might seem like a pipe dream. But what if I told you it's not? 2024 will see more than 50 elections around the world. And in some places, peace is actually on the ballot. One reason is because countries in Europe and Latin America have been experimenting with this thing called feminist foreign policy. Because right now, the way that we wage war and peace, it's kind of a boys' club. The new season of Things That Go Boom from Inkstick Media and PRX is coming March 18th. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everybody, it's Neil. I've got some huge news. Decoder is moving to Mondays and Thursdays. We're adding a second episode of the show. On Mondays, we'll have our classic interviews with CEOs and other troublemakers.
I think we're going to have to start having conversations about how do we pay those jobs that can't be done by AI.
And on Thursdays, we'll be explaining big topics in the news with Verge reporters, experts, and other friends of the show.
There's a new generation of people on the internet. Google search has always sucked for them. So, you know, there's no reason for them to be loyal. They can just go to TikTok.
This is going to be really fun. I'm very excited about all this. So go subscribe wherever you get your podcasts now.
If you want to understand what is happening in the United States right now, you really need to understand what's happening with the courts, the law, and the Supreme Court. The battle between democracy and whatever this cage match is that we're witnessing, it's going to be won and lost at the ballot box, but it's also going to be won and lost in the courtrooms. I'm Dahlia Lithwick. I host Slate's legal podcast, Amicus, and we are doubling our output, bringing you weekly episodes from here on in, because how else can we keep an eye on the many trials of Donald Trump, the conservative legal movement's assaults on our rights, the Supreme Court's latest slate of environmental gutting, gun safety eviscerating cases on the docket? So follow Amicus wherever you get your podcasts, new episodes dropping every Saturday morning.
Okay, so, I mean, you really can see both sides here a little bit, I think. Universal wants artists to be paid more. We all like the artists. We all want them to be paid more. TikTok's obviously making a lot of money, a lot of it off of music. But at the same time, they are in a streaming service. You can't listen to the full song there. They drive a lot of business to the industry. I mean, what do you think? Who's right here?
That's the that's, you know, the big question. I mean, I can't be one to say who I think should or should not get paid more. As a music business journalist and someone who loves music, I will say I think that music needs to be valued. What that means, I think UMG and TikTok are going to be the ones to decide here. And we'll see, you know, when there's a new deal, what the details of that are and what music being valued actually means.
Do you buy Universal argument when they say, you know, they're doing this for the artists?
My opinion is that I think any label is going to do what, you know, is good for the label. They're a company, you know, they need to answer to shareholders and they need, you know, I don't think that they could just be losing money. I think that making money in general is good for the artists too. So like, I think that's fair. I don't want to say it's merely a selfless act of protecting artists, but I think that asking for more money is also in the artist's interest. So I would say it's not inaccurate, but I don't want to call it just an act of altruism.
So Universal is just one company, but they're the biggest one. Does this fight have ramifications for the whole industry? If Universal gets a good deal, does that mean everyone gets a good deal?
I mean, I think that it definitely would give other labels leverage to make their own, you know, to try for themselves. I don't know what the details of Sony or Warner's agreements are, but I'd imagine if UMG resoundingly won, it would give them quite a bit to work with for negotiations of their own when it's time to re-up. In the same way, if UMG falls completely on its face, it might give some difficulty for individual labels to make their own sort of thing as well. But I will say, I mean, I've seen, you know, other analysts and things describe it as a pretty low risk, high reward thing for UMG, because right now it's not even like the, you know, as far as what they're getting paid from TikTok directly, it's not the thing that's making them their money. So what's the risk for them? Either it stays the same or it gets better, or if it gets worse, like how much worse could it be than, you know, already not a super big amount of money for them?
Do you have any sense of how much longer this is going to go on?
I don't. I haven't heard anyone say that it sounds like it's imminently going to end. I've heard people who were not involved with UMG who who I think are very smart, think that when Taylor Swift's album comes out, you know, like they couldn't imagine that, like, there just can't be TikTok, assuming that she herself wants it to be there. You know, like, they're thinking, like, when these huge marquee albums are dropping, are they really going to be able to just not have music there? It's hard to tell. I genuinely don't know.
I wonder, now that they have escalated and pulled more songs off, you know, because of the publishing copyrights, if that's going to make other companies put more pressure on Universal to reach a resolution now that their artists are affected?
It's the big question I've been thinking to myself, you know, like, since the publishing had come down in general, like, what's this going to do for the other labels, the other songwriters? What's the ripple effect going to be? And where's the pressure going to go, toward Universal or toward TikTok? I don't know exactly yet. I've talked to some people and trying to get those answers myself, but there are certainly ripple effects across the entire industry from, you know, the publishing coming down.
So just thinking about this whole conversation, Ethan, does Universal Music need TikTok more, or does TikTok need music more? Like, which, you know, who are the stakes higher for in this fight? I'm not sure.
You know, I mean, it's hard to tell, and I wish I could say I have a clear answer that says I think one is so clearly more dependent on the other, but I mean, I couldn't say that. Like, for one, you know, it's not like Universal Music Group had never released a hit single before 2019 when TikTok had come out, you know? Like, as a music lover, I hope that as long as people have ears, they're going to gravitate toward great music regardless. So I think that that's something that I've been thinking about quite a bit, honestly. But that said, TikTok is transformative, what it's done, you know, within music. It has really changed a lot of, like, marketing and exposing people to music and taking old hits and making them new again. Like, you know, it's shown just the longevity of music to a certain extent. But yeah, I wish I could just tell you that I think one is more important to the other right away, but I don't have a clear opinion on who I think ends up winning out. I promise that's just not a cop-out to make me look smart, depending on whatever happens in a couple of months.
Ethan, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Ethan Millman is a staff writer at Rolling Stone covering the music industry. And that's it for our show today. What Next TBD is produced by Evan Campbell, Anna Phillips, and Patrick Fort. Our show is edited by Paige Osborne. Alicia Montgomery is Vice President of Audio for Slate. TBD is part of the larger What Next family. TBD is also part of Future Tense, a partnership of Slate, Arizona State University, and New America. If you're a fan of the show, I have a request for you. Become a Slate Plus member. Just head on over to slate.com/whatnextplus to sign up. And we'll be back on Sunday with another episode. I'm Emily Peck, filling in for Lizzie O'Leary, and you can catch me over on Slate Money every Saturday. Thanks for listening.